Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's successful real estate professional as they share it with you. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor, The Door Devil. Homeowners spend hundreds on alarm systems each year, but rarely reinforce the weakest point on the home, the doors. Bad guys know this, and that's why kick-ins are so common. Simply adding door devils virtually eliminates the home security gap. Sleep better tonight. Reinforce your doors. Visit DoorDevil.com and enter BEST EVER to get an exclusive 20% discount on your purchase. Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Al Williamson. Hi, Al.
Hello, Joe.
Welcome to the show, and I'm excited to have you, and I know the Best Ever listeners are going to get a lot out of this. A little bit about Al before he gets into his background in more detail. He is a professional civil engineer. He is an author. He's authored a book called Building Wealth with Inner City Rentals. He's been a landlord since 1996, and currently he owns two homes, one 8-unit, and is a partial owner in a commercial building. So with that being said, Al, can you give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Oh, sure. Just a long-term buy and hold type of guy. So I don't like a lot of excitement. I like that, like the cash flow. I'm pretty enthralled with forced appreciation, you know, finding ways to increase the cash flow of the rental you already own. So I love brainstorming and coming up with ways like that, things like that. I'm a big believer that landlords offer a lot of solutions to neighborhoods. So I focus on improving the neighborhood that my rentals are in, and I really enjoy that. I think I'm built to be a landlord.
And when you say you're focused on improving the neighborhoods that your properties are in, that's really interesting because a lot of landlords will identify a neighborhood and then purchase in the neighborhood because it's a good neighborhood or it's an up-and-coming neighborhood, but they don't really put a lot of focus in actually helping that revitalization. What do you do specifically to help that?
Well, the reason neighborhoods are good is because there's a leader involved. There's someone championing the standards and holding people accountable. So that's what I do. I like leading. I think the whole neighborhood benefits when someone calls in a burnt out light, or if there's something that's below standard, that they'll call people on it. Not anything can go in the neighborhoods that I'm in.
So based on your experience as a landlord and as an author of how to build wealth with inner city rentals, which is pretty interesting, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
It would be that you really need to screen for 3 times the rent, no sob stories, and to never be desperate to fill a vacancy. So that means you got to have reserves.
And what do you mean by screen for 3 times the rent?
You want to make sure your applicant, if you have a vacancy, you want to make sure your applicant has their gross income is 3 times what your asking rent is. And so you know that they can cover any expenses, and you know, they have a little cushion themselves, so they're not going to hit a bump in the road and not be able to pay you, because that starts this debt spiral.
What markets do you in? I know you live in California. What markets do you invest in?
I'm in the Sacramento market. That's anything within a 15-minute drive of my home, wherever I'm living. That would be my focus.
And how is the rental demand for that area?
You know, it did start off hot, but right now Sacramento is doing really good. Low, I think we're like 6.6 unemployment rate, which is great for a landlord. You know, there's room for us to raise rents, and in fact, in my area, there are very few vacancies.
So I have some civil engineer friends, and I am going to mention a stereotype, and you tell me if this is true or you tell me if this is true or not.
Okay.
Civil engineers tend to analyze and analyze and analyze the numbers. And when you're – well, first off, is that a fair generalization? I usually don't do generalizations, but is that a fair generalization?
I say yes. That's what we're paid to do for sure.
Okay.
We have to minimize risks, especially when people's lives are on the line. Absolutely.
So that's important that that's the case now that you position it that way.
I'm set up for something. You're leading the witness, Your Honor.
So with that being said, you're right. And obviously this civil engineer that we're speaking to is very perceptive too. So with that being said, how do you analyze a property that you're going to purchase?
Okay, well, you know, I look, so you got to be, you run all the numbers like just about anyone would do, and to make sure that it's cash flowing once you have accounted for everything. And that's a long conversation there about, you know, your taxes and vacancy rates and making sure you have reserves and everything. So you want it to be cash flowing. Most landlords are going to be looking for $100 per month per unit of net income. You know, if you get that, you got a winner. But I go above that because I'm looking for areas that I can affect with my leadership. Because, you know, once a neighborhood gets hot, that's when people are willing to pay a premium for. I'm sure there's a neighborhood around your house that is considered really nice and people pay, you know, a little bit above market to get into that neighborhood. And the same thing goes for lower end neighborhoods. People will discount their prices because of the neighborhood's reputation. So I know I can, taking some easy steps, that I can improve the neighborhood and capture the equity just based on showing some leadership.
This is really fascinating because you're saying that you can improve the neighborhood through certain steps, and we're going to get into these steps, and that will help the value of your property. I don't think anybody would disagree that an improved neighborhood helps the value of the property, but what I find fascinating is that you're saying you can force the improvement of the neighborhood through your XYZ tactics, and we'll talk about that, and that will increase the value. So what do you do specifically to improve a neighborhood that increases the value of the property?
So, you know, this stuff is painfully obvious to you, but I'm going to break it down for you. First, you got to make sure the neighborhood looks just like the Hilton. You know, no trash on the ground, ever. And just holding that standard. You know, I always propose or suggest that you're the biggest landlord in the area, that you go into just buying up something big or enough properties so that you have some influence or some juice, you know, so people recognize you as a player. And then start insisting on some things to make the neighborhood better. No trash. Hey, let's get together and get a landscaper to mow these lawns. It's all, you know, basically like an association. Help people lower their expenses, neighbors, so that all the lawns look good on the block. One thing that's super effective is just ordering a dumpster. There's usually most cities will have a dump run once a year. They'll allow you to put so many things out on the front for them to pick up. Does that happen in your neighborhood?
I live in the East Village in New York City, so it's a bit of an anomaly where I live.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing I do is I have mostly – there's mostly renters, and no one's doing that. So I order a large 40-yard dumpster, have it placed in front of my apartment buildings, and put a sign on it telling people to throw their junk in it. So it's encouraging everyone has junk in their house that they want to get rid of, something big that they want to get rid of that needs to go to the junk, to the dump. So they throw it in there, and you don't get nearly anything in the alleyways or people trying to discard their things, because give them a legitimate way of meeting their needs. So, and it costs nothing. The city provides that for free. They pretty much owe that to the neighbors as part of paying their city sewer, water, and garbage bill. It just takes someone to initiate for that block.
Okay, so you have good, and by you I mean us. So we have good intentions. We want to revitalize a neighborhood.
Yes.
Who do we go to start this process of saying, hey, everyone, I think it would be great if we had less trash on the ground. I think you all would agree. Okay. So we should have a dumpster day where there's a dumpster that the city provides and we all put our stuff in there. And also, I think, as I'm sure you all would agree, we should have the common area mowed more frequently so that it looks better. And we should plant some daisies on the side of the road because that looks better too. So who do you go to when you enter a new town to have that conversation?
Well, the town I'm looking for an area that's designated as a revitalization area. So I don't want to start from scratch. It's too much effort to start momentum, you know, get momentum from scratch, from a dead stop. See, it needs to have at least something in place. So there's already a structure. There's political people that want to look good. There's police officers that have outreach officers right there. And then it's a process of building trust with the neighbors. And that means doing what you're going to say, also having connecting them to, you know, solving some of their problems. I would start off with, if I was starting in a new neighborhood, I would start off with just ordering a dumpster from a large dumpster and putting it there and putting a sign there. I don't have to ask anybody for that. I'm encouraging people to participate, and they will, because there's a pent up need that they have. And what happens is when they're, you know, there's a lot to this. They're actually following an instruction that I've given them to meet their need, and they realize and they're grateful for it. So that's a great way to build a relationship with neighbors that you may be meeting for the first time.
Okay, so. And that makes sense. So at this point, we've identified an area as an area of revitalization because it's designated that, correct?
Correct.
And it's real quick, how is it where do you find areas that are designated that?
City website, you know.
Okay.
Everyone should know the revitalization zones of their neighborhood, absolutely.
Okay, so you can find that on the city website. You have reached out to the contact person for the revitalization effort and you've given some suggestions about what could be done, it's implemented. So now let's talk about dollars and cents. What have you found specifically with an example of a property that you've had that has increased in value from pre-revitalization efforts on your part to post?
Well, I got two examples. I've gone through two revitalization successful ones. One was the first one is a three-unit building. This was back in 96. I bought in because I thought the neighborhood would have potential, but I didn't do anything. I just caught the wind of all the other things that were going on, and the property did really, really well. So that was the first one I thought was a lot of fun, and I thought, hey, you know, I could probably do this more deliberately. So started off at 144, went to 500. No, 625, sold at 625 because of revitalization. The next one is my apartment building. It's an 8-unit building. Rent started off at $375, and now I'm able to furnish the because the neighborhood's better. More people consider, especially the medical center that's just up the street. They would never consider having people live in the neighborhood, but now that it's improved and to where it is. That $375 rent, which was cash flowing for the, is now $900 per unit.
That's great. And, I mean, clearly those are humongous jumps from buying it at $144,000, selling it at $625,000, if I heard that correctly, right?
Yes. Now, the Aplex was bought it for $340. I bought my house for more than that. But it was a troubled neighborhood, though.
What, the Aplex that you have now?
Yes.
Right. But as far as the two examples that you mentioned, yes. $144,000 you purchased, sold at $625,
yes.
And then the other property that you mentioned, $375, and now at $900. The last thing,
$375 rents.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Rents. Good clarification though. some of the best ever listeners might be thinking that is fantastic, but. Yep. Wouldn't that have already happened if you personally didn't do something? Because you mentioned for the 144 to 625 that you didn't really do anything. You just bought in the right area at the right time, it sounds like.
That's exactly right.
So if you are an investor and you buy in the area at the right time, then is it basically the same thing as what you're mentioning now?
That is such a good question. I love that question. Well, here's two things. One is you can speed up what's going on, you know, adding to that flywheel by participating, either sending money to the people who are the neighborhood groups that are doing or giving you traction and helping you raise your rents. Just small donations help them every month, and also showing just a tiny bit of leadership for your block. Also speeds up the revitalization versus doing nothing and being passive and hoping that the good times keep rolling. The next thing is you want to be the epicenter. Once you're like say a multifamily owner, you want to be the center of the good things happening. You don't want to be on the cusp of that. And if the people around you are doing nothing, it's really easy to outshine them. And it's just financially rewarding to do that, especially if things are improving anyway. You want to be on the leading edge of that financially so that you can, you know, you want to be in a position so you can sell into the strength. And when there's a bunch of hype around your neighborhood, when people realize that the neighborhood has changed and it's better and the pendulum starts over swinging, you follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yep,
that's the time you want to be pointed out as an example of what's good about that neighborhood, and cashing in on that.
That makes a lot of sense, and I find what you mentioned with your advice fascinating because I've never heard anyone say that they actively. Attempt to influence the appreciation and the revitalization of a market once they purchase. Usually it's you buy a place and you make sure that you buy it the right area or the growing area, but usually people don't roll up their sleeve and get in there. And I imagine you're also in a unique position for most investors in that you live, as you said, within a very close proximity to your rentals. So that's probably another reason why investors might not do that, myself included, on an active basis. But I love that approach.
You don't want to live too close to the neighborhood you're improving because you're going to lose influence. Coming in as an outsider actually gives you more leverage because you're seen as a celebrity. And you can actually, and the people, the political people and the whole mechanism and has more respect for an outsider than they do for someone they have a lot of familiarity with. So it's more profitable to work on an area that you have some distance from.
Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
I am, yes.
Best ever book you've read?
Cash Flow Quadrant. That really changed, or just framed, the framework was just amazing to me. I loved it.
Best ever personal growth experience and what you've learned from it?
Being laid off in 1996. I learned I only want my salary, my W-2 income, to be one-third of my income for my family.
Best ever success habit you practice?
Blogging and saying crazy things on my blog and then having to back it up somehow.
Best ever deal you've done? And you might have already mentioned it.
Yes, it was my Aplex building. Buying it when it was all tore down with a cloud of city codes on it. And turning it around, yeah.
What's it worth right now, do you think?
Ooh, you know, there's nothing that's generating this type of cash flow I am in. The other people are selling theirs for in the 600s, but if you use that same cap, you know, I'm well over that. But I have to have my lease agreements in place for several years before my these higher lease agreements in place before an appraiser will give me credit for it.
Best ever quote.
Now, I really like Philippe Petit's quote on it's impossible, that's for sure, so let's get working.
Oh, I like that a lot too. I haven't heard that. It was very succinct, and I think I love the approach of thinking, you know what, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. Then, all right, let's make it happen. You know, that's how I personally approach my life and business. So, I love that. Al, is there anything that we didn't talk about on today's call that you wanted to mention?
Can I mention my upcoming book?
Absolutely.
Okay, I have an upcoming book on ideas to help owners of multifamily and single family homes squeeze more money out of their asset without raising rents.
And this will probably tie into the book. What's the best ever place to reach you?
The Leading Landlord blog. That's my blog. You'll catch me at leadinglandlord.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and speaking about this very unique topic that I am confident I can interview 50 more guests and we won't come across this exact conversation again. So it's fascinating. And I think at the end of the day, if you're able to influence the revitalization of a neighborhood, why the heck not? If you're willing and able to do it, you're helping everybody involved, from the residents who are living there to, you know, the other community members within that county for tax purposes, because as the values go up, taxes increase and everybody benefits, and obviously from an investor's standpoint because you're making more money off of the value of your property. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Hey you, best ever listener, do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.